From Greenville, South Carolina, we present Let the Bible Speak. Let the Bible Speak is the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, preaching Christ in all his fullness.
We're delighted that you've joined us for another broadcast of Let the Bible Speak, featuring the messages of Dr. Alan Cairns, Minister Emeritus of Faith Free Presbyterian Church in Greenville, South Carolina. Today, Dr. Cairns brings the next portion of a message called Free from the Law, O Happy Condition. As he continues his series in the Epistle to the Romans, Dr. Cairns is expounding chapter 7. The law shows the sinner his need to be freed from what is essentially a covenant with death and sin. But it can do nothing to effect that deliverance. Only the sacrifice of Christ on Calvary's cross can free a person from the penalty of his sin, which the law demands. As Dr. Cairns is explaining, Romans 7 declares that Christians are living under the grace of God, not under the law. Furthermore, this new life is not intended to be unproductive. Believers are to bring forth the fruit of holiness as they obey God's word. Dr. Cairns will be with us shortly. First, please enjoy this devotional thought taken from C.H. Spurgeon's collection called Morning and Evening.
Our text for this morning is in 1 Chronicles 4 and verse 23. These were potters, and those that dwelt among plants and hedges. There they dwelt with the king for his work. Potters were not the very highest grade of workers, but the king needed potters, and therefore they were in royal service, although the material upon which they worked was nothing but clay. We too may be engaged in the most menial part of the Lord's work, but it is a great privilege to do anything for the king. And therefore we will abide in our calling, hoping that, although we have lain among the pots, yet we shall be as the wings of a dove covered with silver, and her feathers with yellow gold. The text tells us of those who have dwelt among plants and hedges, having rough, rustic hedging and ditching work to do. They may have desired to live in the city amid its life, society, and refinement, but they kept their appointed places, for they also were doing the king's work. The place of our habitation is fixed, and we are not to remove from it out of whim and caprice, but seek to serve the Lord in it, by being a blessing to those among whom we reside. These potters and gardeners had royal company, for they dwelt with the king, and although among hedges and plants, they dwelt with the king there. No lawful place or gracious occupation, however mean, can debar us from communion with our divine Lord. In visiting hovels, swarming lodging houses, workhouses, or jails, we may go with the King. In all works of faith, we may count upon Jesus' fellowship. It is when we are in his work that we may reckon upon his smile. Ye unknown workers who are occupied for your Lord amid the dirt and wretchedness of the lowest of the low, be of good cheer. For jewels have been found upon dunghills ere now. Earthen pots have been filled with heavenly treasure, and ill weeds have been transformed into precious flowers. Dwell with the king for his work, and when he writes his chronicles, your name shall be recorded.
Let them flow in ceaseless praise.
From time to time here on Let the Bible Speak, we've called attention to Q&A with Alan Cairns. These are video clips of Dr. Cairns giving biblical answers to a variety of questions. These include such issues as, what is the gospel? Why did Christ have to be virgin-born? How do we know the Bible is the Word of God? What's wrong with same-sex marriage? In all, Dr. Cairns responds to over 50 such concerns. As we've mentioned, all of these video clips have been available on the ltbsradio.com website. Now we're pleased to make available a DVD containing all of these video portions, about 5 hours of guidance from God's Word for problems which face the 21st century Christian. You may have a copy of Q&A with Alan Cairns free of charge simply by requesting it. Just ask for the DVD of Q&A with Alan Cairns. You may email ltbs@freepress.org. That's ltbs@freepress.org. Or you may telephone us toll-free at 866-877-LTBS. That's 866-877-5827. Finally, if you wish, you may write, Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. Here's an excellent way to provide scriptural answers to family and friends regarding the challenging questions facing believers in this day.
Paul says, by the law, the motions or the passions of sin work in the sinner's members. The passions of sin work. They are stirred by the very law that condemns them. We'll come to that somewhat later as we look down Romans chapter 7. As I looked at this, I realized here you have a picture of a disastrous marriage. The sinner married to the law. The sinner joined to the law in a marriage covenant for life. It's a disastrous marriage. On the one hand, you have a righteous but tyrannical husband, the law. On the other hand, you have an ungodly and rebellious wife, the sinner. The law exposes and condemns and commands, but the sinner reacts by plunging ever more deeply into the very passions that the law prohibits. And from all this, you know one thing is clear. The law produces neither the peace of acceptance with God nor the practice of holiness in the life. It's only fruit. The fruit of the marriage of a sinner to the law is dread and death. The law holds every man in that covenant. I want you to stop there. If you're in this meeting tonight outside of the Lord Jesus Christ, that's where you stand before a holy God, wedded to the law as a covenant of works. No hope of heaven except by your own personal, perfect obedience to God's law and your own personal, perfect satisfaction of the penalty you've already incurred for every infraction. The case is hopeless, with the result that the condemnation of the law mounts against you every day, and your own bitter rebellion mounts against God and His law every day. And yet that's where you're bound, without any way out, as far as human ingenuity or ability go. The second thing I'll notice is this, that by virtue of the death of Christ, believers have been set free from the covenant of the law. This is the real force of Paul's marriage and remarriage illustration. If a woman marries illegitimately while she's married to a husband, she's an adulteress. Doesn't matter what the law of the land says, by the way. If she marries unbiblically, she's an adulteress. But if her husband is dead, she's free to marry. And she's not an adulteress, though she marries again. And Paul is using that as an illustration of us. That now, by the body and the death of Christ, we're free from the law to be married to Christ. Now, this illustration has come in for a lot of criticism. Paul has been castigated and condemned. One leading English scholar, the man who was the leader of the translators of the New English Bible, C.H. Dodd, spoke of Paul being confused here, and telling people really to ignore the illustration as far as they could, for the simple reason it made no sense. Even Orthodox people complain of a faulty or confused or incomplete analogy. And there is a problem as you see it here. The problem the critics see is Paul appears to use the husband and the wife analogy to stand for the law and the sinner. The law represents the husband. The wife represents the sinner. That's how they see it. So a wife may be married when her husband dies, and she's not an adulteress. Now, you would expect after that Paul would say that the law, as our husband, died, and we were therefore set free to be wedded to the Lord Jesus Christ. But Paul doesn't say that. What he says is that we were put to death in the body, or to the law, that is. We were put to death to the law by the body of Christ. Even in verse 6, and you'll notice that I give a re-rendering in verse 6 deliberately, where it says, that being dead. What it should read is, we having died, to that wherein we were held. So you can see the case, there's an incomplete analogy. If Paul's illustration is to be unconfusing, it should be the husband, the law, that dies. But in the illustration, it's the law, it's the husband that dies. In the explanation, it's not the law, it's us that dies. So, should I say, it's we who die. Get my English right, before I'm corrected later. But you know, the problem's not Paul's. As usual, Paul has more interest in truth and theology than he has in mere literary form and beauty. And I'm with Paul every time. The problem lies with the critics, because they're trying to read too much into the illustration. Paul never meant to use the husband and wife relationship as an allegory of the sinner's relationship with the law, giving a precise spiritual meaning to every detail. All Paul intended was an illustration of a simple fact that as death dissolves a marriage and leaves the surviving spouse free to marry again, so by our death, our relationship to the law has been, by our death in Christ, that is, our relationship to the law has been ended, and we are now therefore legally wedded to Christ. But you know, the more I looked at this, the more I saw something else. Paul was a whole lot more accurate than his critics. The claim is that he should have said, for literary precision, he should have said, the law died. And even John Calvin took the opinion that it was out of deference to the Jews, so that it would not raise unnecessary obstacles to the gospel. Out of deference to the Jews, he didn't make that statement, though his illustration demanded it. He didn't actually say so. But you know, that's not the case. Paul would not and could not ever have thought of making the statement that the law died. To say that the law died would have contradicted his entire doctrine of justification and his view of the law. It would have indicated, for example, that the real problem between man and God is the law. Just get rid of that and everything will be all right. If the law needs to die, then it's the law that's the problem, not me. But the law is not the problem. Paul says it's good. It's spiritual. It was ordained to life. So the problem is not with the law. The problem is with me. Not only so, if Paul had said that the law died, he would have been preaching justification by the destruction of the law, which is the very opposite to what he was teaching. In Romans 3:31, you remember he addressed this very thing. Do we then make void the law through faith? God forbid. Yea, we establish the law. And I want you to understand this. For this is the genius of Paul's gospel. We are not saved by the destruction of the law. We are not saved by setting aside the law. We are not saved by the lowering of the standards of the law. We are not saved by trimming the law or cutting away from the law. We are saved by the entire, absolute, perfect satisfaction of the law. That's Paul's gospel. So we're not saved by killing the law, but by Christ in dying, paying the full penalty of the law, which was death. So here then is the gospel. Christ died. Christ satisfied the law. We died in Christ and rose again in Christ. Isn't that what we were studying through chapter 6 in the initial part of that chapter? We died in Christ. We rose again in Christ. Therefore, we're free from the law as a covenant of life by the body of Jesus Christ. That is what Paul's establishing. So follow carefully. Number one, the law holds all men by nature in a covenant that can be broken only by death. Second, believers have been set free from their covenant with the law by the death of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now the third thing. Now, having died to the covenant of the law, believers are wedded to Christ in a covenant of grace in order to produce fruit unto God. Follow me carefully. Having died to the covenant of the law, having been made free from the law as a covenant of life, believers are now wedded to Christ in the covenant of grace, and God does not intend, follow this, mark it, never forget it, God never intends the marriage of sinners to Christ to be a fruitless or a childless union. That union is in order to produce the fruit unto God that genuine holiness is. Look at verse 4 and verse 6. Wherefore, my brethren, ye also are become dead to the law, or ye were put to death to the law by the body of Christ, that ye should be married to another, even to him who is raised from the dead, that we should bring forth fruit unto God. Verse 6. But now we are delivered from the law, having died to that wherein we were held, that we should serve in newness of spirit, and not in the oldness of the letter. These are two wonderful texts, and I'm going to try to sum them up as briefly and simply as I can. Here is the joyous state of a believer. I didn't know Dr. Barrett was going to exercise his papal authority tonight and choose the hymn that he did. If I'd been thinking straight last night when I was choosing the hymns, I would no doubt have chosen the same hymn myself. The bride eyes not her garment. I am my beloved's. These are the expressions. And they are taken from this and similar passages. We are wedded to Christ in the covenant of grace. Here's the joyous state of believers. Notice these three particulars. By the death of Christ, we have been put to death as far as the claims of the law are concerned, so that it has no more claim on us. You were put to death to the law by the body of Christ. Now that by the body of Christ, it has called forth a lot of varied opinion. But I think the whole testimony of Scripture is simply this, that it's a reference to the crucified body. You are dead, you're put to death by the dying of the Lord Jesus Christ. Consider this. Colossians 1:21, you hath he reconciled in the body of his flesh through death. Hebrews 10 verse 10 says, we are sanctified, that is, set apart unto God through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ once for all. Ephesians 2:15 says that Christ abolished in his flesh the enmity, even the law of commandments contained in ordinances. And Colossians 2:14 says that he blotted out the handwriting of ordinances that was against us, that was contrary to us, and took it out of the way, nailing it to his cross. So the body of Christ here is a reference to his dying. By the dying of the Lord Jesus Christ, you have been put to death.
You've been listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. We hope that you've enjoyed and benefited from today's program. We're here as your servants for Christ's sake. If we can be of any further help to you in the things of God, we invite you to contact us. If you would like to receive our booklet, A New Beginning, a booklet that sets forth God's way of salvation in clear, concise, and biblical ways, you may have it free of charge, simply for the asking. Our mailing address is Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. If you wish, you may call us toll-free at 1-866-877-LTBS. That's 1-866-877-5827. You may email us at info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. Also, we invite you to visit our website at www.faithfpc.org. If you would be interested in considering the establishment of a Free Presbyterian Church in your area, by all means, let us know. Once again, you may call us toll-free at 1-866-877-5827. On behalf of Dr. Alan Cairns, this is Charles Kelch saying thank you for listening and inviting you to join us Monday through Friday at this same time as we Let the Bible Speak.